Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Karrion Kross's Wrestling Daily. No, I'm only joking. That was a mark I made. Me and my daughters were playing robots earlier. There you go.
Oh,
genius.
Wow. I love it.
Genius. You can do anything.
Better than that weird gimp outfit we saw on Raw, for sure.
Welcome to Wrestling Daily with Alex McCarthy, not Karrion Kross, and, of course, Steph Chase. Here on the Thursday edition, hot on the heels of AEW Dynamite. Thanks for joining us once again. Apologies again for us being a few minutes late as we were yesterday. It's all my fault because my laptop is in disarray. My other one's getting fixed. I'm left with one that's older than me and it keeps killing me. So apologies on that. Anyway, Steph, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. Thank you, Alex. I have a new chair, so this is the first show that ever that I'll be comfortable during. So that's a plus. Hoping it shows. But yeah, I'm really good. How are you? Other than the computer difficulties?
Yeah, Sam's computer issues. I'm all right. You know what? I saw for Rev Pro that, you know, York Hall, Will Ospreay, going to be there next month against Ricky Knight Jr., right? That's going to be big.
That's huge. Yeah. So I was in Manchester on Saturday for Will Ospreay's return to RevPro. He took on Doug Williams. It was a really great match. RPWondemand.com. And yeah, then he was, the challenge was laid down by Ricky Knight Jr. And as I've said on the show before, I think Ricky Knight Jr. is the absolute best in Britain right now, like future British wrestling. So this match is going to be fantastic. They had a really good back and forth at the end of the show. Ospreay, he has the RevPro title, but Ricky claims that he is the undisputed British championship after winning the Southside Heavyweight Championship tournament and bringing back the old RevPro belt. So it's a really good story and it's going to be a really good match.
Good to see Doug Williams back in action.
Yeah, he was great. He was really, really great. He took a lot from Ospreay and he was up for everything.
Yeah, we had him on Talk Wrestling a few months ago where he was talking about wanting to get back into it and stuff. But obviously the time he picked to get back into wrestling was, it's difficult.
Yeah.
But 48-year-old Doug Williams still kicking it with Will Ospreay. That's awesome. Anyway, so I just wanted to get that in there because you've been doing great things with Rev Pro. Seem like you're really enjoying it.
Yeah, I am really enjoying it. It was really cool in Manchester because like a lot of people I knew were at the show. So I got to like go out into the ring and like talk with like people I actually know watching me. So afterwards I could be like, hey, what was that? Like, how was that? But it's been really, really good. This weekend is my first weekend in over a month without a RevPro show as we prepare for next week. We're back at the Cockpit in London on the road to York Hall. So yeah, but last week's in Manchester was the biggest show that we've done since getting back to business. Biggest show I've ever like been at, ever spoken in front of, the most people I've ever spoken in front of in my life. So it was really, really fun. I just love it. I love being on the road.
Yeah, look at you on the road. I love that. You know, I might even try and come to the York Hall show, you know. Osprey.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
Osprey and Ricky Knight. I think it's on a Sunday. I'm up for it. Mm-hmm. Either way, Rev Pro aside, I'm sure we'll get onto that as we get closer. Sounds like a great match. But this is the day after Dynamite, and you know what happens here. You guys, if you have Ultra Chats, please get them into us, wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily. Have your hot take. Have it right on this show, right next to the hot take queen, the hot take.
I think there's gotta be some hot takes in this Dynamite.
I think there might be tonight, you know. After that show that was last night, the follow-up from Rampage, a lot to get into. But you know what we do at the top of the show, it is titular news time. And what we're gonna dive into here, Steph, is the apparent unhappiness between Fox and USA. Let's put it this way, Steph. If you were USA Network, looking at the balance of things, would you be happy?
No. No, I really wouldn't be. Yeah, it's funny. So, yeah, they're unhappy, obviously, because we had two big returns at SummerSlam, Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar, who both returned to SmackDown, it seems. And USA are probably kind of looking at their roster like, what? But we do have a shake-up coming soon, but I don't think Brock and Becky are going to be moving given the programs in. Nope. So I don't think the shake-up's going to help at all.
It's Andrew Zarian who has been reporting the fact that apparently USA are looking at the Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar returns and saying, hang on a minute, we've got nothing out of this deal. And what's funny, of course, is that Raw was the brand that had it all for years, right? If Brock ever came back, it was always on Raw. Becky, of course, on Raw before she departed to have the baby as well. And now SmackDown have picked up both. SmackDown, of course, has Roman, which is like the linchpin of the whole company. They've also got Sasha Banks, who, you know, debatably between her and Charlotte, probably before Becky came back, the top two women in the company. Obviously, Raw's got Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So SmackDown has got a lot of the top players for a two-hour show, whereas Raw, three-hour show, really needs a lot of top stars. Seems a bit bereft at the moment at the top.
Don't you think, like, it's very weird? So far, like, with us being from the UK, I've always thought the American TV situation was proper strange to have one show on one station and another show on the other station, because you wouldn't get that over here, like being on Channel 4 and BBC and then advertising stuff for like the different channel. So that's like always been like a weird problem. And then they've got the Peacock deal, and that's like connected to USA Network. So Fox are like, hey, why you keep promoting Peacock like during SmackDown? That's not fair. But now USA are like, hey, why have we got the kind of less stacked roster than the other one? So it's very hard, I think, for WWE to make both sides happy. But certainly, like, bringing back Brock to go into a program with Roman on SmackDown and Becky to take the SmackDown Women's Championship, wouldn't feel very good if you're on Raw, because the Raw roster has been pretty stale for a while. That's probably why we had to suffer Goldberg coming back for SummerSlam. So, and then SmackDown had just coming off like getting John Cena, even though he did make a Raw appearance, but like still, like he was on SmackDown too. It just feels like, they kind of give the bigger stars to SmackDown, but they seem to, like, they should have the stronger relationship with USA.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point you make about, like, in the UK, of course, like, we just watch it, it's on BT Sport. Before that, it was just on Sky Sports. But as Tanol makes a good point in the chat, it's kind of like how BT Sport and the Premier League have the Premier League rights, right? They have to split them. But, you know, Sky still have the biggest and best games, mostly. They have more games than BT, so nothing's an even split. And when you look at SmackDown and Raw and the deals, I know they're both kind of like billion-dollar deals, but you could argue that WWE think and they, just kind of putting words in their mouths, but it seems like Fox is the bigger deal because it's in every home in America, right? Like, I don't know.
Fox feels like the bigger get for them, but then I feel like that Fox should feel pretty shitted with them doing the whole Peacock network thing as well. Like this upcoming, when they renew their rights, it's going to be the most interesting rights renewal that we've seen in a long, long time, because you've not only got the AEW competition that people are, networks going to be looking at, but you do also have these like weird things like the Peacock deal and stuff. And then, I mean, there's been reports before about Fox being unhappy because of Peacock. And then you had that bizarre press release for the Vince McMahon trial documentary where he just took a swipe at Rupert Murdoch for no reason, which I just was like, dude, I mean, you're on Fox. But it's just interesting. But it's just, it was kind of funny to me when I read it, because when I kind of read the headline, I thought it would be Fox that weren't happy again. I was like, oh, okay, no, it's USA this time. So it is a, you can't please everyone, and you certainly can't even please both your two networks, it seems.
And we also saw with that, do you remember around Hell in a Cell, where there was a Hell in a Cell on the Friday before the pay-per-view, and then Raw had the Hell in a Cell after? Like, it's really obvious that WWE are having to play like the middleman between the two networks, and they're trying to make everybody happy, which, like, at the expense of your product. I'm not saying those matches were of a detriment or anything, but like, once networks start dictate what you're doing, I don't think that's a good position to be in at all.
Oh, I thought the three Hell in a Cell things was just absolutely terrible, especially the one happening like the night after the pay-per-view. I think that really, I mean, I think we've all been saying for years that Hell in a Cell means nothing now, but it really meant nothing now when someone had a Hell in a Cell match two nights in a row. It was just like, yeah, sure. Like it was a total walk in the park. But I mean, I think things have been happening as far as TV deals that have been detrimental to WWE's product for a really long time. And I think now that everything seems like more of a fight because you're fighting against streaming services like Netflix and stuff like that. I think even, you know, more detrimental things could happen with the networks getting involved to try and keep these ratings. Because even though the WWE ratings aren't what they used to be at all, they are still good ratings compared to other TV shows.
Yeah, like when you look at like what's actually doing well on cable. So like comparatively, WWE is still a very strong product, and I can see why people spend money on them. But yeah, it's funny. Lizzie Stallion says in the chat, so out of Fox and USA, who is the side chick for WWE? Which I kind of assume would be USA.
I think it's Fox, because I feel like because of
the Peacock thing.
Peacock, it feels like WWE and USA have like bought a house together. Fox is like the fancy girlfriend on the side that you know, they go over, you know, they get dressed up for and they have a good time with. But really, they're tied up with in a house with USA Network and are like, look, I can't leave you completely because I've got a mortgage to deal with on the other side.
Yeah, I think what's WWE got left? 3 years, I think, on the Fox deal. Not sure about the USA one, but it kicked off in like the last quarter of 2019, didn't it? The Fox deal. So presumably they got three more years. At that point, I'd love to see where AEW are, what their ratings are, which I don't, you know, WWE live in this world where it doesn't matter, but I think it will, because, you know, that will have a direct effect on how valuable their ratings are. And AEW could be the one getting the billion-dollar deals. Who knows? I think WWE kind of this two-pronged relationship they've got right now. Yeah, I don't see how that's really viable in the long term. Like all we've heard about, right? You know, whether it's true or not, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say Andrew Zarian is right here, is that continuing problems, like one is moaning about the other consistently. And it doesn't help for USA either that NXT has not performed the way that they maybe had imagined, particularly obviously in the face of AEW to begin with. Then they've had to move the slot. I think there's a lot of gripes to go around, but nevertheless.
I mean, I think like a bold prediction is that they end up losing Fox and they end up having both shows in USA, but no, both shows with that network, but one of the shows becomes like a Peacock only streaming thing. Something like I envision something bad like that happening. Where the thing is, like, we talk about that's actually on live TV.
Like, we talk about live TV deals. I at this point, I really don't see AEW leaving TNT. Like, I feel like that's part of their fabric.
No.
You know, and unless, you know, for some reason, Fox at the expiry of the WWE deal said, we really want AEW, and they paid like ridiculous money, but I don't see it. I just feel like TNT and AEW are so. There's like some great symmetry there. We all know the historical value of wrestling on that and the fact that Tony Khan's been able to bring it back from the dead. I think TNT will pay through the roof to keep it anyway. But there you go. I guess we'll have to wait and see because even that has been renewed last year or earlier this year. So AEW have got years to go on that deal as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they do because they got an early renewal on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's 2023. I could be wrong. I think it is, though. And I think that's when WWE's Fox deal is up. Or 24. Who knows? Anyway, nonetheless, that's years off yet. But right now, WWE have to deal with the squabbling. Moving along, I do have an Ultra Chat that I want to read out in a minute. And you can get one in too. WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. And the Mod Mother will let us put it on the show. So please do get in touch. We would love to have you. Thumbs up. Subscribe. We've been doing great numbers recently on this show. It's been steadily improving. We're very grateful for all of your custom. So please, long may it continue. Thumbs up. Help that goddamn algorithm. And subscribe while you're here. We're so close to 12,500, which is a great number. So thank you very much, guys. We would love to have you be a part of the show. And don't forget, if you want to become a proper good egg, like Lizzie Stallion, like Matty, like Breeze, Joshi, and many others, in the chat today, Matthew Ledesma as well. You can do that right next to this video. It tells you how and get involved. And hopefully we're going to have some cool plans coming up for members beyond the emotes and things of that nature. So make sure you get involved. Become the good eggs we hold so dear on this show. Steph, let's get to this Ultra Chat first. It's from Matty, the hot Scot himself. Hey, Alex and Steph, I'm back. Oh, hey, Matty.
He's back.
Yes. Been really busy. I'm sure you have. Alex, still no word from Spoons. That's right. He had a job interview at Weatherspoons. Go you, Matty. Punk in AEW is so good. That pop, holy shit. SummerSlam was all right. I'd probably agree. SmackDown tomorrow will be good. Can't wait for All Out. There's just a lot of points here. Steph, can you guide us through your DVD shelf? What's your favorite? They look like books to me. But, yeah. What's your favourite, Steph?
Can you guide us through my what, sorry?
He my called shelf? It a DVD shelf, but I think it's they're books. Yes.
Yes, sure, I will. I know, I've been waiting for someone to ask. Okay, you can. Right at the end, so there's still Jericho ones here. So I've got a Lion's Tale, Best in the World, No is a four-letter word. The Complete List of Jericho, excellent book, his most recent release. I've got the Daniel Bryan Yes book. I've got Brian Alvarez Death of WCW, The Hardcore Diaries, Jerry Lawler's autobiography, A Biography on Gorgeous George, Sex, Lies, and Headlocks, a classic, Missy Hyatt's autobiography, Wrestling Babylon, Sonny's autobiography, Bret Hart's autobiography, Mankind's, and Ric Flair's.
I have, I would say, maybe precisely half of those. I've got the Daniel Bryan one, have all the Mankind Mick Foley ones, and I have all the Jericho ones. Did I say Bret Hart?
Do you have the complete list?
I don't have that one, actually. I don't. I've got all of the, you know, the proper ones. Come on now.
Proper ones.
This you know what proper. I mean, Steph. Telling his story.
Yeah, the old ones.
Yeah, there you go. I thought the Lion's Tale was my favourite one. First gets to WWE, it's excellent. And the Bret Hart autobiography is also really good because he's just so frank, and I love it. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, that's an awesome collection, Steph. I like it. What else we got on the shelf? We've got hat, we've got belt,
a hat, a picture of Axl Rose, you can't see, my name. This is Daryl Hiromu's cat.
All right, Daryl.
We have a women's title hidden, a small NXT title, an AEW title, a Kenny Omega figure that I got last week, I showed you last week, a Darby Allin figure. That's like all that can be seen. A Bullet Club scarf here that my brother got me in Japan. So, yeah.
He got you in Japan?
Yes, my brother went to Japan and he bought me back a Bullet Club scarf and a Bullet Club t-shirt a couple of years ago.
Even cooler.
Delighted.
I like that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You remember, guys, if you want to get involved, you can do that. WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. Like, subscribe, be a good egg. With that, let's get on to AEW Dynamite. Let's talk about what we like to talk about here on these Thursday shows. We tend to go chronologically, Steph, so I'm going to try and do that again here. So we kick things off with Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy. I think you've been fairly outspoken. You don't think Matt Hardy's had the greatest AEW run thus far. What did you make of this opener for Matt? Of course, Orange got the victory.
Yeah. So I think that there was... this is an interesting Dynamite. And this Dynamite wasn't booked how I would have booked this Dynamite given what we were coming off on that happened in Rampage. I totally get putting Orange Cassidy out there. I think like this Dynamite should have been booked with the idea that we're going to have a lot of audience, but we might have a lot of new fans. So I think it's really like cool to put Orange Cassidy out there because he's someone that jumps off the screen. Yeah. I think he's cool to young people that you want to attract because he's quirky and he's different. I do get putting on like a recognizable name, a WWE name, but Matt Hardy would have been the last name I would have picked. I would not have opened the show with Matt Hardy. I don't think this was very good at all. I don't think the Matt Hardy stick works at all. And they didn't even have like the whole thing about Matt Hardy recently is, you know, he has the whole huge Hardy family office that I'm not a fan of this, like least favorite faction, but he didn't even have them out with him, and Cassidy didn't have the best friends, so there wasn't even any kind of elements of entertainment going on outside the ring or anything. So I just felt like this fell flat as an opener. I would have switched out Matt Hardy for someone / anyone else really in this position.
Yeah,
sorry Matt Hardy.
I know.
It feels so bad, but sorry.
I'm kind of the same. Like, that's kind of how I feel, like, because I like Matt Hardy and obviously a long-term fan, but I just I don't know if things are really clicking for him in AEW. I don't think he's not like detracting from it or anything like that, but he's not really bringing anything to it either. And if the talent pool is becoming so fierce, I think there's less and less room for what Matt is really doing on the card, which isn't much. And he can, like, I do feel like creatively, he can bring a lot to the table. And perhaps we've kind of been robbed because the pandemic changed how he was going to be presented and brought in. And, you know, I don't know if that would have worked anyway, but we'll never know now. Do you know what I mean? Because he had to switch it up.
I think the problem is, so Matt had a career renaissance from doing the broken Matt gimmick and storyline, which is not really a character that can be long lasting. And thank God we don't have it in AEW, but it was fun when it started and he was doing stuff with Jeff. Then he got his big return to WWE with Jeff and they could be the Hardy Boys. And that was great because we were all excited to see them back together as the Hardy Boys. And then he landed in AEW and he tried the broken Matt stuff at the beginning and it just didn't work like at all. I think the best thing he's ever been a part of was just the fact that he was in the first ever Stadium Stampede. But I think that was just happenstance that they put Matt Hardy in there, like rather than anything else. And then he decided to do like a complete turn to be this, you know, greedy businessman character that it's just bad. Like he executes it badly, I think, and it's just not working. You know, it's just, sorry, Matt. It's just not working.
Saws Matt.
I'm sorry. I mean, I've said worse things about other people, but I do feel bad saying this about Matt Hardy, but it's not working. But you know what? You can never predict the future. And when Tony signed Matt Hardy, he had probably had no idea the other options he would have had.
Oh God, yeah. How things have changed. Things have changed since then. But yeah, I, like I said, I still think Matt has a lot to bring to the table, maybe in different capacities eventually. Like I'm sure when Matt's in-ring career is done, he's going to be very, very, very valuable somewhere in some capacity. I just don't know exactly how that's going to manifest just yet, but I still believe that he's a very good creative mind. So hopefully he puts it together somehow to benefit people actually on TV. That would be good. Moving along. Chris Jericho came out and he had a little say, and it was a lot of us what we expected, really. The only way he could really goad MJF into another match is to put his career on the line. If he loses, he'll just be a commentator in AEW. No more in-ring stuff in AEW, which was stressed quite a lot, which I wondered if it meant anything. They kept going, in AEW, and I was thinking, But who knows if that means he's going to have a run in Japan or something. I really don't know. But either way, MJF eventually comes out and accepts, and he says, you know, I beat you 3 times. I'm going to do it again. The only thing to tempt me is saying, yeah, it's cool to make Jericho tap out, but it's, you know, legendary to retire him. I'm a little bit conflicted because I feel like Jericho kind of has to win, which pretty much undoes all of the work, in my opinion, of what you've just done for MJF. Like the end of that feud could have been last week. And Jericho would have been fine. MJF would have been a lot the richer for it. I'm just wondering, Steph, like, what's the arc at this point? Like, where are we heading?
Well, I think, firstly, I think we're heading to Jericho victory. I think he is going to be MJF. I think that he stressed the NAW thing just to try and make it all more believable that he would retire. Because I think there's people who aren't as like up on things that will watch that and say, oh, he could go to WWE or something, you know, especially since we saw like that really daft Roman Reigns leaving stipulation that was added on before SummerSlam for no reason. I almost think this could have been like a slight dig at that. But then there's some other people that think that he could leave because they think his contract's up soon, but apparently it's not. So anyway, but I think that I don't think it will hurt MJF at all, like Jericho getting that one final victory over him. I don't envision him getting a clean victory over MJF. And I think that's maybe why in a lot of his matches, including the one he had with MJF last week, he's been using the baseball bat, which is like so heelish, but we let him away with it, you know, like using a weapon. So I don't expect him to just get a clean victory over MJF. I don't expect MJF to tap out or something, but I think he will do something to like outsmart MJF. So in the end, he can do like a almost like Ric Flair-esque, you know, I'm still like the dirtiest player in the game type, you know, way to like taunt him.
Lovable way.
And I think, yeah, I think MJF will be fine. And especially if the match sets up like something else for MJF to move straight into. So like maybe there's a Wardlow thing, or maybe it's Wardlow's fault that he loses. And then we like finally kick that off. And then once it ends, you know, Jericho could just be like, look, I've still got a lot left in me. I vanquished the guy that was trying to like put me in the ground, like wrestling wise. And MJF can say that Chris's victory wasn't, you know, honest or whatever, but he can move on too. But I've enjoyed this feud so much. It's been one of my favorite like feuds, and I'm glad it's continued, and I'm glad we're getting this match. And I expected him to put his career on the line, of course. And I think it's a good time to do it, because like also him having this job in Rampage, at least we know like he has another job. So it does seem believable as well. And he's got all the stuff with Fozzy too. So I liked it. I thought this is a good promo by MJF as well. I think MJF's promos have gotten better when we've been on the road. Like, not that they were ever bad, but I felt sometimes when it was just Daly's place, he was kind of missing something that he had at the beginning. And now he's back in front of different audiences that can really react to him. He's getting like back up to where he was at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, like, again, I've enjoyed it and I love both performers. So I'm not, you know, I'm not like turning my nose up at another match or anything. I just wonder if kind of takes the shine away from like, maybe the guy who should have got the definite victory here would have been MJF, you know, like the blow off victory. But at the same time, I guess Jericho's the face. I don't know. I just felt so kind of good about it last week. You know, Jericho looked great, kind of doing everything that he had done to get to where he did. And then MJF, in true cheating fashion, you know, well, not cheating, but he stacked the deck against him.
No, but I felt like, so a lot of people I heard say, like, once we had the match last week, like, so that's the feud over. And I was watching, like, of course that's not the feud over. Like, of course they're having another match. So I was, the fact that he tapped out, I get, you know, putting MJF over and giving MJF the victory. But I certainly, like, I wasn't comfortable with the tap out, like a tap out on the record there. So I want to see them again. And I don't think he's going to get a clean victory, but I think he's definitely going to win.
Interesting. Moving along in AEW, of course, next was the Lucha Bros taking on the Varsity Blondes for a place in the final against Jungle Express for a place to face the Young Bucks in a cage match at All Out. And I think a lot of us could have presumed, even though the Varsity Blondes were very highly ranked, that the Lucha Bros would come out on top on this one. It's, you know, it's interesting that, like, we're looking at the shenanigans, is what we'll call them, Steph, that unfolded kind of after the match, you know, and there's like Jurassic Express and the Young, you know, the Bucks and the Good Brothers and that. Kind of feels like they're going to go back to Jurassic Express, but like I would prefer the Lucha Brothers to face them personally. Like, maybe that's kind of like setting the story at the side, but I don't know, from an action perspective, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm ready to see that again.
I think it's going to be Jurassic Express. I think because of Jungle Boy, Jungle Boy's hot at the minute. He's always been hot, but they're giving him more stuff and they have to, I think, give him a championship. So I could see Jurassic Express beating the Young Bucks to give Jungle Boy championship without like giving him the TNT or something. And I feel like the Lucha Brothers, you know, we both love the Lucha Brothers, but they have not been booked properly as a tag team in so long. The whole Death Triangle thing and Andrade and everything, it's all makes you kind of forget that they are a tag team. So kind of putting them in the spot of like the victors here for the pay-per-view just seems, I mean, we're only going to have a week to build this when we find out the winner. So I think it's more likely it's going to be Jurassic Express. But I think as far as this match went, it was fine. But I'm not sure that, like, the Varsity Blondes are really good, but they're still green as a tag team. And I'm not sure that they gelled very well with the Lucha the Bros, who aren't the most traditional of workers. I don't think that Varsity Blondes are kind of have the instincts yet to work with a team like Lucha Brothers, who like dictate their own kind of unique match, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I think that's the funny thing, because like I said, it's the fresher matchup to me, but I get it that all the story is kind of laden in with Jurassic Express. That's one of the dinosaurs, the toys. It's all in with that. So I understand. But I guess, like, if you run it back, do Jurassic Express have to win? You presumably, because we've just seen it play out the other week where they didn't.
Yeah, I don't know if they have to win, but I think that they're the team that people would buy winning the most, just because this has been built up and because Jungle Boy is Jungle Boy. I mean, this Young Bucks title reign has been good, but it's been lengthy, and I wish that, you know, Santana and Ortiz were getting into this mix, and maybe they can after their match with FTR next week, and maybe just taking the belts off the Young Bucks might open things up a bit more in the tag division, and stop having it linked to Kenny's storyline all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting with the Young Bucks, like, because there is a lot of possibilities for people to go against them, but at the same time, they're so kind of dominant right now as part of the super elite. It's hard to see where it's going to come from. Next up, Red Velvet was taking on Jamie Hayter in Jamie's first kind of comeback match, as it were, in AEW. I think from the get-go, we always knew this was going to be a showcase for Hayter, of course. And she did pick up the victory after the match. Chris Statlander hits the ring, runs the heels off, which basically just kind of gives us a bit more juice on the Baker-Statlander rivalry, which looks like it's heading for All Out. What do you think about everything here? Jamie Hayter's return. I mean, God, she looks aesthetically great, right? What tremendous shape she's in. And Baker Statlander being for All Out.
I think Jamie looked awesome, and she had an awesome performance. Red Velvet, not so much. This was not her best night in AEW so far. But it's just, it's so hard with Britt, because she's just gets that face reaction every time. And if I could have picked anyone to put her up against, it would have been Chris Statlander, because I kind of had faith that people would cheer Chris Statlander for being a lovable alien. But you put up against Britt Baker and people still want to cheer Britt Baker, like there's nothing you can do. So I think like it will be a good match, but it's not one where I believe that the outcome is going to be anything other than Britt Baker retaining, because she's on like this amazing hot streak, and you could not possibly like take the title off her or put the brakes off her in any way. And the as far as like the build to this match, I'm not sure that there's been much of a build at all, other than them facing off with each other like twice or so. It's another one where the story isn't there, but the match should be fine, and people love Britt so much that the crowd will be hot for it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's the incredible thing. Statlander's like unbeaten in AEW. Yeah. And I know she was out for a long time, so kind of, you know, by default, maybe in some ways, but they've still kind of protected her a lot. Being aligned with best friends is sure to give, you know, give her a decent reaction, perhaps. But to me, it just seems like a plausible, incredible challenger where, you know, Britt's going to retain. Look, to me, I don't see Britt dropping to anyone not named Thunder Rosa or eventually Jade Cargill. That's just the fact of the matter. This present roster anyway. So yeah, I think moving forward, Britt is safe champion for now. After this, CM Punk, he would speak his first words on Dynamite. Yes, that's right. Something we thought we wouldn't say, but here he is. CM Punk is giving out his first promo. It wasn't like obviously a groundbreaking promo, but this is just his first one back. And I thought what he did do, he delivered well. You know, he spoke about some of the young talent. He did it with Tony Schiavone as well, which is always cool. You know, he mentioned some of the people that he wanted to work with. And he said it's more about like proving himself right rather than proving people wrong, which I thought, you know, is an interesting insight into his motivations. What did you make of the CM Punk? Yeah, presumably there's a lot of people who tuned in just to hear Punk, right? Just to see what he was saying. What did you make of it?
Another great Punk promo. I mean, he's so great on the mic, and that's one thing I've missed about him so much. It's really cool because this like match that they've set up between Punk and Darby, like, there's no feud, there's no beef, and it'll be interesting to see what Punk is like when he gets into his first actual AEW feud. So this was the best possible like angle that he can go for, like picking the young guy that he sees himself in, the guy that, and him saying, no, I would have been a fan of Darby when I was 15. I see myself in you, like pointing out all the similarities, because there are so many similarities, and seeing people that liked Punk are going to like Darby. And then just, you know, putting it out there that he's been away for so long, like who knows if we can still go. We have no idea what he's going to be like in the ring since we've seen nothing from him, and just making that part of the story. It feels like he is probably going to beat Darby just because it's his first match back, and it'd be really be almost weird to see CM Punk lose. But then there is like a kind of doubt that can be brought in there by saying, like, if he does lose, he can kind of cover for it by, you know, saying I wasn't ready. But yeah, it was good, and it's the best thing that they can do with it. And he was great as always. The reactions he gets are going to be huge for the next, I don't know, like how long, because every city he goes to, it will be people seeing Punk for the first time in 7 years. And it's going to just be awesome to see him every week. It was surreal watching him on Dynamite. Like, he's actually a part of the roster now. It's so weird. Like, you know, I'm still not over Sting being on every week. I'm still not over that. And I don't know how I'm going to ever get over Punk being on every week.
It feels so weird, like, to think, you know, like when you see Sting there every week, and I know he only wrestles sporadically or whatever, but like, why do WWE do what they do with the whole, oh, we'll just have you on every now and again? Like, I know they look at it like, oh, it's special attraction, you know, like heart, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder or keep them special. But I don't know if I've ever really subscribed to that feeling.
They're just idiots. Like, they're just like idiots that have no respect for people and their legacy. I mean, they get a legend, and what do? Like, they embarrass them and get them killed anyway. So, like, who cares? Like, this is, it's super nice seeing Sting every week. It warms my heart and reminds me of being a child. Like, WWE wouldn't, you know, use a legend like that. I'm surprised how nicely they used Ted DiBiase.
Well, that's NXT. It's different, right? Gatecrasher Forever has an Ultra Chat, and he says, my friend watched AEW for the first time after seeing Punk return. His words were, how do you watch that bunch of nobodies every week? What an episode to show after Punk debuts. Cluster of a women's match, jobbers galore, matches that should be on Dark. I mean, to be fair to Gatecrasher Forever and his point here, it's not the strongest Dynamite any of us have ever seen. I think we can all agree on that. It wasn't like an A show or anything, like, you know, it wasn't the best they've put out there. I don't think it was awful, but at the same time, I understand. I've seen a lot of that same criticism on Twitter and everywhere today. Like, following up on the CM Punk magic, you probably have to bring it. And did they really bring it the way we know AEW can? You could definitely argue not.
This wasn't their best show, and they didn't bring it. I don't like their, like, how do you watch this bunch of nobodies? Like, that's a stupid comment. How are they ever going to be somebody's unless you've put them on TV? I mean, the whole problem with WWE is that they don't build up stars. And I think this episode of Dynamite, I don't think it was a strong Dynamite at all. As I said at the beginning, it's not the Dynamite that I would have put on. But then I also feel bad because I sit here saying, like, push, you know, new stars. This is why I love AEW. Like, they're letting you get invested in new people. They showcase new people. And so they took, like, what could be their biggest Dynamite ever and said, like, hey, you new people, you can all have a spot on it. And then we're watching it being like, oh, you should have put you should have put different people on the show. So that's the problem. Like, you walk a fine line, and they didn't get the balance right. They did not get it right this week. What all it needed was one hot match, and it really should have had like a epic Young Bucks match on the show, which of course wouldn't have worked with this Eliminator storyline, but it needed something like that. It needed like that one great wrestling match where you can like forget about everything else. So you have one match that you're talking about the next day. And then you can also say, and oh my gosh, CM Punk spoke, Jericho put his career on the line, you know, stuff like that. But it just didn't have that one match hook. And I think that the problem, like, I think the kind of, not the, I don't want to say the worst part, but one of their biggest mistakes was having the match with Moxie and Darby in it and having the opponents be the wingmen. Because I think if you had done that with 2.0 and Daniel Garcia again, it would have been like a lot better. The wingmen were not the men to put on in that spot.
Well, let's talk about that match, because that's what comes next. It's John Moxley, Darby Allin, Eddie Kingston, my favorite stable that isn't, against the wingmen, which is JD Drake, Cesar Bononi, and Ryan Nemeth, of course, brother of Dolph Ziggler. Unsurprisingly, Allin, Moxley, and Kingston pick up the victory. After the match, it's Daniel Garcia that attacks Allin. It's not Punk getting the heat. It's Daniel Garcia. So really, that's the main takeaways from this. It was cool to get your Moxleys and, you know, Sting and whatever, like all of those guys on TV. But I think there are some merits to what you just said. Like the opponents have like no heat at all, really, for, you know, to coin a wrestling term. So I feel like the foregone conclusion of it all, and just it's pretty formulaic. I don't know. I don't know if that really was the best use of either any man in that match, to be honest.
No, there's so many other people I would have put in that spot, like throwing out random names, like putting like a Private Party to do something good, putting Dante Martin back out there, you know, like just other like teams or complete randomly thrown together people that I think would have come off better on TV than the wingmen, who, no offense to the wingmen, but it's a very dark act. Like it's not a top level act. The outfits, everything about it, the look, it's just, it doesn't, if this was WWE, it does not scream main roster, you know, and they weren't the guys. They should go, they need to go back to waiting in the rings. It was not their time last night to be out there.
I mean, yeah, more for Tony Khan, giving them the chance and stuff. But
yeah, I know. It's like, it's super sweet. It's super sweet.
It just didn't hit.
It didn't. But maybe, you know what? Maybe CM Punk was backstage booking the show saying, I want to see all these guys get a shot in the big light. You know?
Yeah. I mean, after that, we got the next chapter in the Christian Cage, Kenny Omega story. Kenny comes to the ring to cut a promo. Before he can, Christian Cage makes his way out. Bit of a verbal back and forth that finishes with a beatdown for Christian. But Frankie Kazarian, being the elite hunter that he is, comes and makes the save. Again, it was like good, but like nothing really happened. Does that make sense? Like it was fine to watch. It just, nothing really was pushed forward.
I thought this was a really, really good exchange. It is freaking bizarre that they are basing this storyline on Don Callis. Right. So for people that don't get it, Don Callis booked Christian in his first ever match in Winnipeg and then didn't want to book him again. Mm. And the reason being that Christian was really good, but Kenny Omega was 10 years old at the time and Don Callis didn't want to continue booking the adult Christian because he had Kenny, a 10-year-old Kenny Omega, waiting in the wings.
Precocious.
It is an absolutely
Kenny.
bizarre storyline of like, this would be totally fine if Kenny was like was 17 and was like a year away from making his debut or something, but like Kenny was 10, so it's a crazy storyline which gave us some excellent old footage. Like, look at what Christian used to look like, and look at what Don Callis used to look like. He looked like Bret Hart as a young man with hair, but it's so bizarre that I love it. And they had some really funny lines, such as Don taking off his scarf and saying, "Hold my scarf." Kenny saying, "You think you know me," getting an Edge reference in there. So I thought this was really good. And I just love that let's call it your main event angle, because it's for the world title.
Yeah.
Your main event angle revolves around something that happened over 20 years ago in Winnipeg, involving a yet as then unknown Christian and a 10-year-old Kenny Omega.
I mean, if WWE did this, they'd be crucified. People would be going, "What the hell?" Like, and I'm laughing at it.
I don't think so, because WWE make up some like really stupid storylines, but these guys have sat and they've looked deep into their history and thought
too deep.
How, like, what's our connection? And the connection happens to be that Christian wrestled in Winnipeg when Kenny was allegedly 10, because I don't think the math actually works in that. But that's what they found as their, like, common thing. Like, they haven't made up something new of why they hate each other. It's like 10-year-old Kenny prevented Christian's rise in the Winnipeg territory. Amazing.
Wow. Moving along from this age-old story, next we had the trios match of the Gun Club and the Factory. For those unaware, we're talking Aaron Solo, Nick Camarotto, and that's QT Marshall's faction against Billy Colton and Austin Gunn. The Gun Club got the win. You know, pretty much capitalizing on the distraction from Paul White in commentary. I mean, I don't have a lot of good things to say. I mean, could QT Marshall not have done with a win here? You know what I mean? Like, for a semblance of hope against Paul White, could he not?
Oh. It's so funny, because every time QT gets a spot, and I know this from being someone that has interviewed QT and had people comment on my interview, people do not like QT. And every time QT is on Dynamite, they say that he put himself on the run sheet. But if this is true, he books himself incredibly badly, because him not getting the win here was unbelievable. And also, like, sorry to say this to the people involved, this is another match I wouldn't have had on tonight. Tonight wasn't the night for the Aaron Solo and Nick Camarano. And it also wasn't the night for the Gun Club. I'm sure quite a few like new viewers were like, "Oh my gosh, that's Billy Gunn. Why is he a giant now with two miniature versions?" Yeah. But this isn't one I would have put on a TV either.
Yeah, not sure. I mean, I get it that All Out, like, barring like a remarkable story twist that Paul White's going to annihilate him, so maybe I shouldn't care that much, but come on now.
Who do you think's going to lose quicker, Bianca Belair or QT Marshall?
Oh, I've got a horrible... I feel like Paul White is going to, like, decimate him. If it was WWE, QT Marshall, he would get the victory somehow, I'm telling you right now. But,
and they'd do 20 minutes.
They would do something incredible where Paul White's made to look like the stupidest human being ever. But I don't think AEW are going to try too hard with that. Anyway, with the main event, it was, of course, Malakai Black, one of the hottest stars in AEW right now. So understandable why he'd be in that spot, against Brock Anderson, who ostensibly is having his first Dynamite match at the very least. Arn Anderson, of course, his father, and this was all kind of retribution, and didn't last long. He had an aggressive burst to begin with. You know, he went after Black, but again, didn't last long. Lee Johnson making saves Steph, there's a lot to unpack here with the show closing angle. Please talk us through it.
This is utterly bizarre as well.
It really was.
It was so was. So firstly, I absolutely get having Malakai Black out there in the main event because he's awesome. But also, if you've never watched this, like the idea of Aaron Anderson coming out with his supposedly young son who you look at and you know he's young, but you also think he's 45. Like, what is kind of strange to people like just tuning in. But they give this match like under 5 minutes. It was about like six minutes to go by the time they got it started. You knew that Brock was going to get like completely destroyed. So you were just waiting for like the show closing angle, which happened to be Lee Johnson running out to make the save. Lee Johnson, who had the audacity to ask for his music to be played before he made the save, which did nothing to help his reception because nobody knew he was coming. Not even Jim Ross, who tried to sign off the show. And it was like, no, wait, someone's coming. They're playing their music. So I thought, I thought this was such a weak ending. And it was funny as well because Malakai Black, like Lee Johnson, got in and he was just like, well, whatever, I'm going home. And that made it seem like Malakai Black didn't even know nor care who Lee Johnson was either. So he couldn't have made less of an impact. Like, he saved the guy 5 minutes too late. With absolutely, he didn't even save him, like, nothing. I mean, they just could have ended on something stronger. I wouldn't say bring Cody back, but my gosh, even getting Dustin Rhodes to do their run-in and face-off with Malakai Black would have been preferable than this. I just kind of feel like Brock Anderson got murdered for no reason.
Yeah. I don't have too much to add.
And like the visual as they ended of Aaron on the floor after taking like couple of low shots was just such a weird way to end the show.
I mean, yeah. I guess the connection here, I see a couple of people talking about it, like Wiley Johnson. Like, he's part of the Nightmare family.
No, but we know who he is. We get it. But it wasn't important or impactful enough to end the show.
No. I mean, I'll be very interested to see what number Dynamite does. But like... Mm-hmm. It was a huge chance to really, you know, put a balls to the wall show on. And they're only two out from All Out. I have every faith next week will be a really hot go home show.
Yeah.
But like, me too. As far as I think since they moved back from, you know, when they had the run of weekend shows, I think this is the worst Dynamite I've seen since then.
Oh, and
And I still use that, like, you know, it's not like it was like Raw tough to watch, right? It wasn't like 3 hours there.
Bad Dynamite is still good Dynamite, you know.
Yeah, it's still again for the standards that Dynamite have set, basically, is what I'm saying. It wasn't great, but alas, we move forward. Steph Chase, talk to the people about where they can find you this week. What content you got coming on? Let the people know.
You can find me on YouTube at Stephanie Chase Wrestling, and I'll be going live in just over an hour to do AEW Weekly, where I will run through Dynamite. I'm doing it on a Thursday night because there's just not enough space between Dynamite and Rampage. You know, like, there's really not. So I'm going to be doing it tonight at just after 10. And stay tuned to my Twitter at Stephanie MTS, where I'll be announcing all the stuff I'm doing in the run-up to All Out for All Out Week, which will be starting on Monday. And if you live in London, come watch All Out with me, because I'll be hosting Hooked on Wrestling's All Out viewing party in London, and you can get your tickets for that.
Awesome. Look, Steph Chase is everywhere, guys. She's everywhere. But she's always here on Thursdays on Wrestling Daily. So make sure you stop by when we have Steph, and every other day of the week, all the shows we've got coming up for you. Give us a thumbs up, a subscribe, and you can see SB3 is sat. We all spread the days. And I'll be here tomorrow with a special guest that I will let you know on Twitter. I'm still just waiting for him to get back to my inbox. That's the truth. But they said they would, so I don't want to confirm and get it wrong. But anyway, thank you very much to everyone who tuned in tonight. I've been Alex McCarthy. That is Steph Chase. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.